Good to see you all tonight. Praise God. Had a good time here with Good News Church, as always. You guys are very dear to us, and we have, you know, I know you probably, I say those things you could have in your mind. Oh, yeah, he probably says that, you know, he says that to all the girls, right? Every church he goes to, you know. No, that's what just what came to my mind when I said, you know. But no, man, there's not. Let's just close in prayer. Praise God. So, no, it's not like that. We love you guys. I hope you know that we've spent more time here and have connected with you in a different way, than in a greater way than any other church we work with. And we love you. And I'm honored to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. All right. Moving right along. So we've been talking about faith. Isn't that right? In all these services. And, you know, I've been pointing out in every service, by faith, praise God, we can move mountains, we can calm storms, we can have mighty works, and encourage you, have faith, believe, faith is the answer. But what I had on my heart for tonight, I don't want to just leave you there. I want to talk about how you could have faith, how you could increase your faith. If you just feel, man, you know, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin wrote a book called What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Have you ever felt that way? I have. I felt like my faith was weak and my victory was lost before. But thank God there's a way to stir yourself up. There's a way to get back, you always have faith. It's always there. If you're a believer, the Bible says that he's given us faith. But thank God, you know, it's not. There's a way to have it be the dominant force in your life again. Amen. To have it be the unction that puts words on your mouth and thoughts in your mind. Not just lie there dormant, but be an active force in your life. There's a way to drive out doubts that would hinder you from believing and trusting. There's a way to increase in faith. Everybody say, I could increase in faith. And you might be at the pinnacle tonight of where you've ever been, but thank God I want you to know that there's more. And this message is for you tonight too. You might be saying, man, I never believed God like I am tonight. I want to tell you, you're just starting, praise God, no matter where you're at. Maybe you moved a mountain on the way to service here tonight. Good, praise God. But there is no limit to what you could do with God. Amen. I want to read one of the stories, the one that we've been preaching on here in the last two night services. Mark chapter 6, Jesus at Nazareth, starting in verse 1. And it says, Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. Praise God. So we'll stop there. Well, so we saw in this story, one of the points that I felt impressed to bring out during these meetings was that the only thing that stood between them and mighty works was faith. So faith can equal mighty works in our life. Boy, that's good news, especially if you need a mighty work. Amen. And, you know, we kind of focused a lot on healing, of course, because we've been praying for the sick. But maybe you need a mighty work of guidance. Have you ever needed to know what to do or needed to know what the next step was or needed, praise God, to know, you know, what do I do now, Lord? What's the next step? I find myself there often in ministry. You know, you kind of run for a little bit. Now what? You know, what comes next? That's a mighty work. Maybe you need a mighty work of guidance. I want you to know you could lay hold of it by faith. You know, some of you that know some principles about faith, you know, how to claim things and declare things and believe you have them even before you see them with your natural eyes or before your circumstances reveal it. How many know you could do that for guidance? You can stand on, there's promises for guidance in the Word, isn't there? Bible says that that when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll lead us and guide us into all truth. Maybe you're in a situation where you don't know what to do. You know what faith looks like in that situation, even while you don't know. even while you don't, you know, you're not mentally aware of the answer. You can say with your mouth, bless God, I know what to do because the Holy Spirit always leads me and guides me into all truth. I'll make the right decision, praise God. I might not know right now, but I will make the right decision because the Holy Spirit guides me. He always leads me and guides me into all truth. Amen. Maybe you need a, of course, we talked about healing. Maybe you need a mighty work of healing, praise God. It's good to know that by faith you can have a mighty work of healing. Not just a small thing, but if you need a mighty work, you could have it. You could claim it and have it by faith. There he could do no mighty works because of their own belief. But where faith is, mighty works happen. Amen. Maybe it's a mighty work of favor. Have you ever needed favor with family members or on the job? Or in ministry, or whatever the case is. If you ever needed a mighty work of favor, praise God, you could have it by faith. You could stand on promises of God where he says that he surrounds the righteous with his faith like a shield. A mighty work of freedom from fear, deliverance from something. Thank God. It could, all these kinds of things could be activated by faith. But maybe, you know, where you're at now, your problem seems bigger than your belief, you know. It just seems staggering to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's answers for that. There's help for that. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's help for that. And I want you to think of two stories. We're not going to read them, but I think most people are familiar with them. If not, just trust me and look them up later. Google them later. Amen. But I want to talk about two stories from the life of Peter. One is from Luke chapter 5, where Peter, really, he hadn't started in ministry with Jesus yet. He was still practicing fishing. And Jesus comes up to him. Jesus has been teaching. Jesus finishes teaching, and Peter had been fishing all night and caught nothing. How many remember that? Peter had labored and toiled all night and caught nothing. Jesus sees him at the end of the fishing day, and he challenges him, and he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter, having fished all night, this was against his logic. This was against human reasoning in this situation. And human reasoning is always the greatest enemy to miracles, you know, trying to figure out how's God going to do it, trying to make sense out of how's it going to happen. And so Peter here, Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Peter, out of, you know, you can tell what's going on in his mind because of what he says. He says, Master, I've labored and toiled all night long. You know, in other words, I've tried that. I've labored and toiled all night long. Nevertheless, at thy word. And he acted on the word, even though it didn't make sense. He acted on the word of God. And he cast out his nets into the deep, and a miracle took place. Everybody say a miracle took place. And, you know, he fell down on his knees. And he said, you know, forgive me, I'm a sinful man. And he caught so many fish when he cast out those nets that the nets were breaking and the boats were sinking. Man, I preach on that with evangelism often, that God wants us to be successful in reaching the lost. But there's a lot of faith lessons in that story. One, Peter acted on the word of God. Amen. And as he acted on the word of God, even though it didn't make natural sense, a miracle took place. But then I want you to think about another story with Peter. Peter's out in the boat with the rest of the disciples, and Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and he says, Master, if that's you, bid me come unto you on the water. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. Come, Peter. So Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk on water. And, you know, he's doing good until we see that he looks at the wind and the waves, and then he begins to sink. Well, again, there's a million faith principles there. But the thing I want to particularly draw your attention to tonight is, do you see a difference between that story earlier in Peter's life and that story that comes later in Peter's life? I wonder how many of you would agree with me that by all standards, you know, even God talks about some things being lesser works and greater works. Like we read in Mark 6, few people getting healed, that's not a greater work. That's just everyday stuff. So there he could do no mighty works. And we can learn from the word that few people getting healed aren't even mighty works on God's scale. So there's degrees, even in God's estimation, that some things are greater than others. How many would agree with me that in these two stories from Peter, we could see that casting out the nets was a lesser miracle than walking on the water? But you could see by the way Peter reacted. You could see by the way Peter interacted with Jesus in that first story that casting out those nets was probably about the best that Peter was up for in that situation. So what I see between the first story and the second story, I see growth in faith. Bless God, if Peter could grow in faith, you could grow in faith. If Peter could grow in faith, I could grow in faith. See, that first story, that's a notable miracle. Nets breaking, boats sinking. It took faith for that to happen. But you could tell by the way Peter responded to Jesus that that was about all he was up for. Like I said, because he says, you know, I've labored and I've toiled all night long. His first words are like doubt and unbelief words. That's his first response. Then he kind of wins the battle, you know. He kind of comes out on the right side of the scales, falls on the right side of the fence, and he says, but, you know, nevertheless, at thy word. Amen. Thank God. You can come out of doubt and land on the right side. And that's what Peter did. He's starting off with on the wrong foot, but then he says, you know what? Nevertheless, at thy word. Boy, that's a good phrase to keep on your mouth and to keep handy. Nevertheless, at thy word. But you know, think about it. If Jesus had come to Peter and said, Peter, come on, let's go walk on the water. If he was having a hard time with casting out the nets, I think we could conclude that Peter was not ready to walk on water in that situation. Amen. But bless God, he was a few chapters later. Because he grew in faith. Praise God, he grew in faith. Everybody say it against, I can grow in faith. And you can see a difference in Peter's words. As you read the story, you could almost see what we call the spirit of faith on Peter in a stronger way in the second story. One example is in the first story, Peter's not looking for a miracle. Jesus approaches and initiates the miracle with Peter. Sometimes that'll happen. You'll just be prompted. You'll be in a service or something, or you'll be with a friend somewhere, and just you'll be prompted in some way. We see that sometimes. People are like, man, I've never seen anything like this before, and some other believer just almost pushes them into it, you know. That's what happened with Peter. Jesus is like, come on, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Peter wouldn't have come on that himself, but Jesus said it. He struggled with it for a while, and he said, all right, I'll play ball. And he did, amen, and it worked. But then you see a difference in the second story. There is a difference about Peter, where now in the second story, Jesus isn't the initiator. Peter's the initiator. Man, in story number two, Peter's not going about his natural business and interrupted with Jesus. In story number two, Peter's looking for a miracle. There is a difference in the way he thinks. There is a difference in the way he conducts himself. He sees this miracle manifestation, Jesus walking on water, and Peter says, I want in on that. Master, if that's you, bid me come unto you on the water. Peter's looking for a miracle, praise God. Do you see that? Maybe no matter where you're at today, you might be like Peter tonight in the first story where he's just going about his own business. And maybe these messages of faith are coming to you like Jesus came to him and said, come on, launch out into the deep. Expect some supernatural things to happen. Maybe that's how these stories and these messages are hitting you tonight. I want you to know it wouldn't take much for God to take you from casting out nets to walking on water. If he did it for Peter, he could do it for you, praise God. Amen. I don't care where you're at in your walk with God. I don't care what you've experienced. But all of us are at the place of casting out nets at one level or another. And all of us can be taken to another place, like a place of walking on water. Amen. Maybe it's very practical. Maybe you're in a situation and you're fighting a battle. Maybe it's a health battle and you're thinking, man, I've already cast out the nets. It's never the work. Nevertheless, at thy word. But, you know, maybe it just looks so daunting to you tonight. Maybe it's like, yeah, those things, you know, I hear sometimes from people. I've heard all your messages. And I was just like, man, I don't know about it, you know. This guy in Singapore, I told his testimony last night. He was from Singapore, but he was in Vietnam. He said, you said all these things about healing. And you said all these things. And people were healed. And I was like, you know, I don't know who, you know, I don't know about any of that. I'm not sure about anything. Then he woke up the next morning healed, you know. God did something in his life. But maybe that's you tonight. I'm there. I hear some stories read some stories in the Bible. You could read something like Mount Carmel. I'm telling you tonight, if God told me to build an altar and expect, you know, he would have to be like, really, you know, he'd have to get my attention. Jeremy, for tonight's service, build an altar because fire's going to come down through the ceiling and it's going to ignite. No, that's just maybe out of the ordinary for us. Amen. I came here tonight expecting miracles. I came here tonight expecting people to be healed. There's a few reasons for that. One, it started with the Word, and I saw it in the Word of God. And way back, before I ever saw it in my life, like Peter, I said, nevertheless, at thy word. Amen. Then after a couple of those nets broke and my boat started getting low in the water, I started looking around and saying, what else is there? Then I said, man, saw Jesus walking on water. Jesus bid me come unto you on the water. Things turned out pretty good with the cast out your nets into the deep. What else you got for me? Amen. And the key thing is not to be comfortable just with the nets, not to be comfortable just with the walking, but always be looking out where Jesus is. Always be looking out where he's walking. Always be looking out what he's doing. And say, Jesus, I want to be out there with you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed these meetings. I got to tell you, I don't know. Every night I get even more blessed than I anticipated originally. Amen. I came expecting. Amen. I'm glad. I'm glad it's not just me. Praise God. But you see, you could grow in faith. So how do you do that? You know, how? Yeah, I can grow in faith. Well, that's a good place to start. To know you can. Where you're at tonight doesn't have to be where you're at tomorrow or next week or the time after that. Despair, discouragement, heaviness, the can't, the doubt, the, you know, maybe you hear testimonies and instead of a response of excitement, it's just a response of heaviness. And instead of, it just brings dread instead of, bless God, you could come out of that. Amen. Whatever level you're at, maybe you're like, yeah, I could see that. But then when we tell stories like Amy Simple McPherson stories where baby's arms grew back and they say, well, you know, come on, really? No, really. Bless God, we can get there, praise God. To not just believe God can, but to have a confident expectation about ourselves where we just expect it, praise God. I mean, really expect it, you know. Like, put your money on the line, expect it. You know what I'm talking about? like, praise God. Hallelujah. So how do you do it, though? How do you move from where you're at to where you want to be? First thing is that if you're a believer, if you're born of God, if you're born again, you've got faith, and you can believe. Amen? He gives all of us the measure of faith. He gives us all faith. We've got faith. Everybody say, if you're a believer tonight, if you're born again, say, I've got faith. And I think very often, you know, we think, oh, man, I just don't have any faith for that. It's not an issue of faith. It's more of an issue of having doubt. Are you with me? You know, having unbelief that kind of clogs the hose, if you will. One time I had a vision, and I don't throw that around lightly. You know, I don't, I could probably, you know, I've had like many visions. Like sometimes I'll just see something, like even just in a healing line, and I'll see myself do something. I remember with Mike Netzler before last time I was here praying for the service. I just saw myself praying for Mike and I didn't even really know why. So when I got here, I just said, well, Mike, I saw myself praying for you. Come forward so I could pray for you. And different times I'll just see things like that real quick. I remember one time I was in Galleon, Ohio, and this guy, he had a bad back and he was in the healing line. So he came up. He was the next person up. They were coming single file in this church. We didn't have him lined up or anything. You know, he came single file and I just had saw myself bend him over three times really quick. So I said, all right, that's what I'll do, you know. So he came up, and as I did, I grabbed him kind of by his shirt collar on the back, you know, and one. And he tells the testimony later about what it looked like from his end, you know. He said, on the first time, I'm like, what is this guy doing, man? And he said, on the second time, he's like, this guy is crazy. He said, on the third time, he said, all the pain left my back and I was healed. Good thing I didn't stop at number two. Amen. So we would have, don't stop at crazy. Amen. Just go on through until you're finished. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a whole message within itself, you know. I mean, if you stop in the middle of the process, it stops at crazy. See it through till testimony. Amen. Don't stop at crazy. See, I knew that person was crazy. No, see it through until testimony. Praise God. Where was I before crazy? All right, so visions. So I've had a couple mini ones like that. But I can maybe count on my hand a few that I've had that were, you know, significant to me, and God was trying to show me something. Where was I? I was somewhere when I was still living in Oklahoma. I don't even remember. Maybe not. Yeah, I think I was in Oklahoma, and I was working in a security job. And I had a lot of time to watch monitors and have visions. Amen. So, no, it was seriously. Like I said, I could count on my hand how many times this has happened, you know. But I saw this hose, like an old-fashioned fire hose nozzle, like the brass ones, you know, and like comes to a cone point, and a fire hose, and I saw that it was clogged with like a thick brown wax, and I was familiar with this wax because it was what we used in art school and sculpture for what's called the lost wax casting, where you make a mold around a wax model, you put it in a kiln, and you melt out the wax. The wax is very thick, and it's kind of like gummy, you know, and it's a little softer than a candle, so you could work it with your hands, but just a little bit, and then you heat tools and stuff and shape things. So that was what that substance seemed like. It seemed like this thick, what we called victory wax, inside of the hose, and just clogging it, and then there was just a little opening so some could just drip out. And then I just saw that the pressure of the water was turned up higher. And as the pressure got higher, that wax just was forced out, and the opening got bigger until finally there was just, boom, a pile of wax on the ground, and that water was just flowing freely. How many of you know that doubt could be like that? Just clogs the hose, amen. It's not that you don't have faith in your heart. It's not that you don't believe it. See, Peter, you could see it in Peter. He believed that he could walk on water. Otherwise, you know, he was a double-minded man, doesn't receive anything from the Lord. He was out there on the water. And that could be an encouragement to you. If the devil ever tries to tell you that you're a double-minded man and you're not receiving anything, just go back to your last thing. The double-minded man can't receive anything from the Lord. I'm born again. I must not be double-minded. Amen. You could start there. But anyways, Peter, you know, he's on the water and he sees the wind and the waves. It wasn't that he didn't have faith. It was that he let doubts clog up the hose and talk him out of that faith from working. Amen. Does that make sense to anybody? I'm kind of treaching tonight, I guess. I had somebody tell me one time, you're a treacher, like teaching and preaching. Amen. I think I'm doing a little bit of treaching tonight. So, you understand, you could unclog the hose. And I think that's what it is a lot of time. It's not that we don't have faith. It's that we have doubt that clogs the hose. But thank God we could unclog the hose. It's like this. Here's what it looks like. Let's take example empowerment. We've been teaching a lot. Everybody could do the works of Jesus, just like John 14:12 says. Isn't that right? And, you know, you'll be out there, and maybe you'll come up to somebody on the street and see somebody with a hearing aid. Or I think Grayson just told a story, something that happened not long ago, and it was a pinky toe testimony, as good as any. Amen. And young guy had a pinky toe problem. And, you know, let's just say you're Grayson ministering to this pinky toe, and there's all these teenagers around, young guys around, I guess, teens and 20s, and one guy, he's got pain in his pinky toe, and Grayson's in front of these people. They're not really receptive, so he's wanting something to get their attention, and nothing does the job like a miracle. Amen. So he's saying, okay, how am I going to get their attention? So how does this clogged hose work? I'll tell you how it works. In your heart, there's faith, and you're ready to minister, but all of a sudden, this wax is there. You know what the wax says? What are you going to do if it doesn't work, right? How many have ever heard the wax talk to you before? Heard the doubt talk to you? What are you going to do if it doesn't work? I mean, all the time, you know, it tries to get, but you can drive that out. You could get that out of the way. How do you do it? You could answer it with the word. Remember, Jesus was tempted by the devil. The devil came to him and he tried to get some wax in his hose. He tried to, amen, remember when he was tempted? The Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness and he was tempted. And the devil would try to come at him and say, if you really are the Son of God, if is always the badge of doubt, you know, is if it's going to work, if you really think it's going to happen. And tried to throw these things at him. He answered the word and he put the pressure of the word on it. And those arguments just fled with the devil. Amen. If you'll just make a decision, just like Peter, nevertheless, at thy word, and you start quieting down those arguments, well, you can't do that. You know, that how do you expect that to happen? And you answer it with the word. It will happen. You could start getting some more flow out of the hose. Amen? Say amen if it's making sense to you yet. All right, good, good, good. Everybody say it again. Say, I can grow in faith. Hallelujah. The doubt, the discouragement, you know, the negative, the wind and the waves. They're always going to try to make their argument. They're always going to try to say it can't be. And, you know, they're always going to try to bring up past failures. They're always going to try. Think about this one. You try to take a step of faith. They're always, the enemy and doubt is always going to come try to come up with some example of somebody who's tried to take that same step and failed at it. Have you ever had that one? I'm going to take a step of faith, you know, and I'm going to believe God for this. Well, what about brother so-and-so? He fell on his face. You're going to fall on his face too. Always try to get you to associate with failure. Always try to get you to associate with it not working. Amen. Always trying to come from some argument that God's going to fail you. Amen. But thank God, you can answer that with the word and say, God never fails. God's word cannot fail. He won't fail me. And if you'll just combat these things, if you'll just quiet these things with the word, amen. Peter, there's a few things you could do. One, you could meditate on the word. Everybody say, meditate on the word. Many of you know this. Maybe some of you don't. How do you meditate on the word? You take scriptures that promise you what God wants for you. You take scriptures that promise you the thing that you need. And you take time. I mean, take some time. I mean, set aside some time. Half hour, hour, couple hours, Saturday morning, weekend, whatever it takes. You take some time. And you just put that pressure on the doubt. And you just wash your mind in it. Has anybody ever done that before? Has anybody ever come away from a session like that before? Feeling encouraged, amen. Having the faith energy, if you will, in your heart. Just that unction and strength, the faith strength it takes to get out there and say what you need to say and believe what you need to believe and think what you need to think. Everybody again say, meditate on the word. You know, the Proverbs talks, in Proverbs it talks about writing things on the tablet of your heart. That's how you write things on the tablet of your heart, by meditating on the word, by thinking about what the word says. And you could do it with one scripture. You could take one scripture and you can just break it down and think about what it says and see it in your mind. And bless God, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bible also says that the word of God is living. And it's active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the division of soul and spirit, praise God. The word is active, so it acts, and it does things. There is an action to the word, and one of the actions of the word is to build faith inside of you. I like to say it this way, the word of God will make a believer out of you. Amen? It'll make a believer out of you. There's another thing you could do to build your faith. The Bible says that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Anybody ever take some time and pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray in the Spirit? Have you? You know, I know you've maybe heard the metaphors. People say it's like charging a battery, but how many have ever felt it before? You know, like you just prayed, maybe just for a few minutes. And then there is an energy about you, a spiritual energy, greater than when you started, man. Amen. And the Bible says that this is something that can affect faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It is something that God has given us to edify ourselves, to build ourselves up, to strengthen ourselves in the Holy Spirit. And according to the Word of God, it's something that we can do to build our faith. Now, let me ask you something. If you needed to build your muscles for something, let's say an athletic event, let's say you were going to run a race. Neil used to be a coach cross country. How long has it been since you coached cross country? About 7 years, long time. Okay. But before a race, before you run your first race in cross country, There's what? How many? A couple months of training at least? A couple months of legal training, and then the secret meetings in the summer too, right? So, yeah. So, anyway, that's how it was at my school anyways. So, but there's a lot of, you know, you train. You start running. Because you're looking for, because you're saying, I want to be stronger than I am today by the time I get to the race. Amen. You know, at the boxing gym, it's the same thing. If somebody has a fight, all of a sudden this guy who hasn't been showing up very much, now he's there every night, you know, and he's got his plastic suit on and he's doing road work and he's there when you get there and he's still there when you leave, you know. Why? Because when he gets to the fight, he wants to be stronger than he is today. So he's putting some time in. And he's believing that by putting this time in, he's going to grow and he's going to be stronger than he is today by the time he gets to that day. You know, the Bible says that that physical exercise profits a little bit, but spiritual exercise profits for this life and the life to come. There must be some similarities there. That means you can start putting some time in today, and you can expect that by some other day, you'll be stronger than you are today. Putting some time in meditating on the Word. Putting some time in praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not complicated, really. Amen. You know, it's always just, you know, cross country. Bless God, cross country is not a complicated sport. You just put one foot in front of the other a little bit, you know, a little bit faster than a walk and do it forever. Amen. And that's it. I ran cross country, you know, and that's all you do. That's it, you know. There was this hilarious, there used to be this Nike commercial out. It was a cross, not many cross country commercials, you know. And they show this guy running, and he's all by himself, and he's running through some trees. No music, no sound or anything, just this guy running through some trees. Then they show him coming around a cone, and he's passing one other guy. Then they show him, you know, going up a hill with maybe two other people, like 100 yards behind him. And he's like, why do I do it? For the glory. I was like, yeah, that's right. For the glory, all alone on a rainy day in the woods. So, but, you know, it's like that. There's nothing complicated to it. It's just built on these simple principles that if you run more at some point in time in the future, you'll be able to run better than you do today. I want you to know that spiritual growth really isn't that complicated. Growing in faith really isn't that complicated, amen. Put some time in praying in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. It won't fail you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Take some time. Take some time. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Devil will try to tell you it's not worth it. You're just wasting your time. Why would you do that? Go weed the garden. Go clean out that cabinet, you know. Things you hadn't thought about doing in years, right? You know, go, well, you really need to do that laundry. Do something more productive. No, take some time. Go change the oil, whatever. No, go take some time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not complicated. This isn't anything anybody, you know, maybe a lot of people here, it's nothing you haven't heard before. But I want you to know it works. And you could grow in faith. Peter didn't do anything extraordinary to go from casting out the nets to walking on water. He hung out with Jesus. He listened to the Word. He acted on his faith. And in just a few short chapters, we see a big difference in Peter's life. I mean, we don't see anything like he went away for 6 months and you know, he gave up all his earthly possessions and he had an angelic visitation. No, or God specially granted. He just walked with Jesus, acted on the Word, and next thing you know, he's taking bigger steps and he's believing for greater things. And we see mightier works in his life. Amen? So there's some things you could do. Meditate on the Word. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Listen to people preach who have faith. Amen. Come to a faith church. Amen. A place where people believe. And you're going to hear something that builds you up on Sunday morning. Come to meetings like this on a Tuesday night. Can you believe it? Cancel work and come and stay out of state. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on a Tuesday night and hear somebody preach faith. These things are not in vain. Amen. It makes a difference. I could look back on meetings I was in that changed my life. Amen. Changed my life. These are simple things. They're not complicated things, but they work. Running is not complicated, but if you can do it and you get out there and you do it, you'll be amazed by the changes it makes in your life. And the Bible says that physical exercise profits a little bit. If you do spiritual exercise, you will be amazed by the changes it makes in your life. Amen. Man, things can change. Things can grow, praise God. Go where you listen to faith-filled preaching. There's a difference now. Anybody following me? There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a note of victory to it. There's that tone of, Master, if that's you, bid me come unto you on the water. Not, well, I guess we're not meant to walk on water anymore today. That's not going to put any faith in you. Amen. Master, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water. Faith preaching. Oh, I'm thankful for faith preaching. I'm thankful for the services that I've been in where people preach faith. I'm thankful for the tapes. Yes, the tapes that I've listened to that encouraged me to believe God. Amen. And built my faith. Hallelujah. It's not complicated. It makes a difference. I mentioned it one of the earlier services. I listened to 5 hours of tapes on the way down here. And it was like, you know, I started off, I wanted to listen to something else. And I, you know, couldn't get it on my hard drive or something. And I got to get out the door. I see this CD that somebody sent me in the mail. And I'm like, all right, that'll work, whatever, something, you know. I listened. And then here I didn't know it was like MP3s. So there was like several messages on there. I'm thinking it's one. I pop it in. I listen to one. I said, man, that's good. Another one. I'm like, man, please be another one. I get to number 5 and I'm like, come on, how about 8? Maybe 8. That'd be perfect. But it stopped at 5. But man, I'm telling you, praise God. It just was working. It was working. Amen. Things were changing. Amen. Some of that wax was getting out of the way. The water was flowing better. Amen. Are you with me? Everybody say, I could grow in faith. Hallelujah. You know, there's something you say, I just don't know. I don't know if I want to that much. I don't know if I want to even. I don't even, if I even want to grow in faith. Well, it's good if you, at least you could start by wanting to want to. Amen. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't want to, if you at least want to. I heard this doctor one time, he said, there's something, you know, maybe you don't, you know, how we hear all the time, it's good for you to drink water, right? It's good for you to drink water. I guess you could lose your thirst for water. I know there's different theories about all these things every 15 seconds, but you could lose your thirst for water. But if you'll just start slamming down water, eventually, you'll regain your thirst and you'll get thirsty for it again. Has anybody ever found the Word of God and the things of God to be like that? Even if your want to is weak, there's something about after you slam down a couple glasses of the Word of God, amen, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot how good that was. And you get your thirst back. Amen? I know this is basic stuff, but this is, man, I'm telling you, it's the key to victory. Amen. Everybody say it. Say, I could grow in faith. Amen. And we all need to. So go where you hear some faith preaching. Play some faith messages. Try to avoid at all costs anything with a tone of doubt and defeat. I'm talking movies. I know. All right. Stay with me. Lock the doors. No. But, you know, come on. We've all been there. Have you ever come out of watching a movie that did nothing for your faith? Right? Just you know, it's just, my God, you know, and then the enemy tries to say, yeah, and that's going to happen to you next, you know, right? I mean, or something like that. Am I the only one? I'm feeling alone here, right? Why don't, instead of that, do something that'll build your faith instead of something that'll hurt your faith? Amen. I'll tell you what, there's some, what's been called Christian music. That doesn't do anything for your faith. It just is defeat and weakness. And I'm sure it's people who love the Lord. I'm sure they mean well. But you listen to it, and there's not a note of victory to it. You know, like with Peter, it's you know, Master, bid me come unto you on the water, and Peter's getting out of the boat. But they're not singing about that. They're singing about, I'm drowning, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. And it doesn't encourage your faith. Amen. Isn't that right? You know, I met the judge through the evangelist I used to work with, a man by the name of David Horton, and an evangelist. And he had this visitation from the Lord. I believe it was in Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. He was coming back from Eastern Europe or somewhere overseas and had done a crusade. And he had an overnight layover in Alabama. And he said, and he also didn't use this term these kind of things loosely. He said he had a visitation from the Lord in his hotel room just on his overnight layover. And God spoke to him and began to reveal to him some things about how to do a miracle service, which was a big part of his ministry. One of the things he told him, something I said earlier, he said, human reasoning is the greatest enemy of miracles. Human reasoning. Now, do you know what I mean when I say that? You know, human reasoning. Like you know, a lot of these things, you hear miracle testimonies, maybe even things you're seeing with your own eyes, and your mind will try to say, if it's not, you know, if it's giving you a hard time that day, that's not happening. How is that? That's not possible. You know, you hear an outstanding testimony. Come on, they got to be making it up or whatever. That's the voice of human reasoning. All right. But anyhow, he said, human reasoning is the greatest enemy of miracles. The Lord told him. And he said, he told him how to have a miracle service. He said, have everything in the service, the music, everything that's said, every variable that you control, point to how big I am, how big God is, and talk about how nothing is impossible. He said, because that's what the atmosphere is like in heaven. The reason why these things happen constantly in heaven is because there's no resistance. And if you want to see more of these things on earth, eliminate all the resistance you can. Amen. Well, that was real similar to that vision I had before I even heard David's story. Just eliminate some resistance and you'll see a greater flow of that water. Amen. You'll see a greater flow of those things. So I think that's a good measuring stick, not just for a miracle service. I think that's a good measuring stick if you want a miracle life. Just eliminate the resistance. Why don't you just have everything in your life point to how big God is? Any variable that you could control, amen. Why don't you just have everything that you read? Make sure it's something that talks about how big God is and something that's going to help your faith and not something that's going to hurt your faith, amen. We can grow in faith, praise God. And this isn't just a natural thing. It's not just like going to college and studying books or taking a class in Spanish and learning some, you know, whatever. Okay, now learning pronunciation and learning words and memorizing more vocabulary. It's really a supernatural thing. The transaction that happens with the word, the transaction that happens with the word building faith in your spirit, it's a supernatural thing. There's a supernatural power in the word to increase your faith, to renew your mind. Amen? Couple more things, couple more tips, and then we'll minister to the sick here tonight like we did every night, praise God. And God will help people. He's faithful. So go where there's faith-filled preaching. Listen, meditate on the word. You know, and if you can't go there, then listen to it. You know, put it on your headphones when you work out or whatever. Put it on your phone. Put it, you know, just amen. Get some word. Let it affect you. Wash your mind. Build things in your heart. Avoid things that are going to hurt your faith. Avoid things that are going to steal your faith. And there's something else that we see in David is remember your victories. Remember your victories. I'll tell you something that I don't know if I've ever told you. You know, I'll do this sometimes. Sometimes I'll just sit down with a notebook and I'll think back on some of the miracles I've seen in services. And I'll just write them out. Oh, yeah, I remember when you did this, you know. Ah, Father, I remember this person here. And remember, particularly my services, because it's, you know, it's in relation to me. I'll meditate on the works of Jesus even more than that. But, you know, I'm thinking back. I remember how this happened. Keep your past victories before you. Amen. Remember how God's been faithful to you. The Bible even says that we're supposed to share those things with our children and pass them down from generation to generation. Those things are supposed to be kept alive in our family story. You know, we keep family, you know, wedding pictures and we keep little, military uniforms and things like that and folded flags and things like, you know, those are the kind of things that is in my family. Listen, you should keep the supernatural heritage and your history with Jesus should be passed down from generation to generation, remembered and kept alive. Amen. And it's more than just, you know, feel good memories. There's a faith principle to it. I mean, when David, he's on the line, man. He's facing Goliath. What did he do? He thought back about God's faithfulness and past victories in his life. And he looked to those testimonies to encourage him to stand before Goliath on that day. I believe that's why he said it. I believe that's why he was thinking back. It was just another way that he was just glorifying God and growing in faith, thinking back. It was just another step. Oh, for that matter, since we're talking about growth in faith, do you see a growth in faith in David's life? Lion's worse than a bear. Goliath was worse than a lion. Amen. Praise God. Remember faith victories. Here's another one. Forget past failures. All right, we're going to take a second here. If you've ever had a faith failure, raise your hand and hold it up. And I'm not just showing you what to do. My hand is in the air. Absolutely, right? Absolutely. Peter did. Peter sunk and needed Jesus to bail him out, looked at the wind and the waves and missed it. God's best for him was to go all the way to Jesus and keep walking. Jesus had to help him. I've needed Jesus to help me. Amen. Yeah. But you know, that didn't take Peter out. He had some, you know, Gate Beautiful was pretty impressive. Took a man by the right hand. He said it was the name and faith in the name that made that man to walk. That was a faith victory. Faith victory came just shortly after that faith failure. Peter was doing all right. Not long after that, if he would have dwelled on, you know, man, I tried to walk on water and I missed it. You know, Jesus had to come and bail me out. And oh man, you know. He certainly wouldn't have had the juice to go there to the man at the Gate Beautiful and take him by the right hand and lift him up. Forget past failures. Forget those things which are behind and press forward to that which lies ahead. I think when those things happen, and we've all had them, different situations, different levels of things. One thing is we want to understand everything that happened. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We're not going to understand everything that's happened. You know, this desire to understand. Just release yourself to know you're not going to understand everything that's happened in the world. But just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen. Continue to trust in the Lord. Things that'll help you grow in faith. Things that'll help you grow in faith. Go from where you're at. Boy, I know that's a big thing in ministering to the sick. It's a big thing in believing for finances. Here's why, you know, I've shared a lot of testimonies with you guys about going overseas and believing God and packing bags, you know, and things. And we've had plane tickets given to us at the, 2 weeks before we got to be in Russia. We've, you know, airline miles given to us. Couple weeks before we got to go, months before sometimes. It got closer and closer there for a while. And, you know, things like that. One time I had a meeting. I was still living in Tulsa. Needed money to get out of town like the next day and came into church and there's $100 on our seat. We had assigned seats, you know, because I was working for the ministry. Things like that. But I remember one time I was in Russia. Jocelyn had wanted to come and join me. We didn't have the money, and she packed her bags. She bought the kids' passports, and it never came. The money never came. You know, I don't share these kind of things because it doesn't encourage anybody's faith, and I forget about them, hey, like we're supposed to. But only for tonight. Only for tonight. Amen. Scratch this from the tape. Turn off the microphone. No, but I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't even think about it much. I don't know what happened. I'll tell you, I've had plenty of miracles after that. I've had plenty. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't even really need to know. It hasn't stopped me from having miracles since then. Amen. But just forget about it. Just move on. It doesn't change the Bible. It doesn't rewrite the words on this page just because something went wrong. Amen. It's a good opportunity to quit, or it's a good opportunity to just move on and keep believing God. I could tell healing stories like that. I could tell all kinds of stories like that. That's just one example tonight. But, you know, maybe you have the idea just because I share a lot of faith testimonies or miracles that's never happened. No, I've got stories like that. But it just, like I said, I'm trying to give you things that'll magnify God and build your faith. But tonight it fits. Amen. But we just keep on moving and we keep trusting God. God still is who he says he is. I know this. I know it wasn't that God missed it. It wasn't that God's word failed. I know it was something on our end. I don't totally understand it, but it's over. I don't need to totally understand it. And we just keep moving on and keep believing God. Amen. And praise God, I've been to several countries since then and had several plane tickets and things like that come in miraculously. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Forget past failures. Remember past victories. Remember how God has been faithful to you. I mean, remember them. I mean, rehearse them. I mean, if you need to, like I said, if you need to get a Moleskine or, you know, blank journal, write them down and read them every night like a bedtime story. Amen. Remember past victories. God's been faithful to me. He's the same God now as he is then. I'm a believer now like I was then. God's faithful to me now like he was then. Amen. Put yourself in remembrance of God's work, what he's done for you, praise God. Let that shape expectation for the days to come. Is this helping you tonight? Growing in faith. Smith Wigglesworth wrote a book called Ever Increasing Faith. That it should always be increasing. It's not a destination, is it? It's not like, I'm a faith person, here I am. No. It's nothing like that. It's ever increasing faith. It's always being formed into the image of God and into the image of Jesus more and more. Amen? It's always having your mind renewed more and more. And the idea is that he takes us from faith to faith. Not just one place, a destination, but from faith to faith and from glory to glory. All right, I believe that's about all we needed for tonight. Amen? Let's thank God for it. Can we thank you, Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Glory, glory, glory. We thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercy. Glory, glory, glory. Father, Lord, we just thank you for, we think back, Father, how you've been faithful to us. We thank you, Father, for victories that we've seen in you. We thank you, Father, that you've been merciful and you've just helped us and given us peace, even in the face of failure. Lord, we thank you for comforting us, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your comfort. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the faith that's inside of us. Thank you that it could be stirred up. Thank you that it could increase. Thank you that the doubts that have hindered us can be driven out and overcome and triumphed over in Jesus' name. We thank you for helping us with that tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to say one more word about exercise, you know. If you want change, if you got it, like I said, like you're getting in shape for just want to get in shape, or maybe it's an athletic event, or maybe it's just whatever. You know, people have a lot of different reasons. They therapy even. You want to see improvement after something, and so they put you on a regime, don't they? And you see your therapist, like, whatever, you know, every week or every couple times a week and things like that. You want to get in shape for cross country, you run every day or whatever, you know, in the boxing gym, those guys, it's like all day. You do road work in the morning and then, you know, in the afternoon, you're whatever, you know, whatever it is. Same thing. Why don't you just start a build your faith regime? Amen. Set aside some time. Praise God. Cheaper than a therapist. Amen. Cheaper than a personal trainer. Praise God. I guess a pastor's like a personal trainer. Amen. For spiritual exercise. But set aside some time. Have a regime. And there's one more step. We'll close with this. One more step that you can do to grow in faith. And that's use your faith. Act in faith. In both those times, Peter acted where he was at. He had cast out the net's faith. So he acted on it, and he used what he had, and he acted where he was at. So why don't we do that tonight as we close and act our faith on the healing promises of God? Amen?